Bill Kipper and Bourne back for their national hour. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Tristan Marchegiani coming in out of the bullpen. Saved our first hour with our clips.
Mm-hmm.
We went to them, nothing there. Tristan ran like he stole something.
Great 40 time. Great dash.
Great dash.
Got it done.
Found the clips. Where were they? In a trash can? Where were they? In the hallway? Great job, buddy.
Made it happen. Great job.
All right. A lot of marquee games last night. Signature games. 12 in total. It kind of calms down tonight with just one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. We need a rest.
We do. The Islanders, though, got her done, pal. Sniffing around the playoffs again.
Still in it.
They won't die.
Washington, despite a tough look last night against the Toronto Maple Leafs, still in it. Islanders still in it. I think Doug McClain's still in it, or did he check out at this point?
Always love finding out.
Look at
no quarter zip today. He's in a nice summery tee.
All right. Off the rails Friday. Wouldn't be off the rails Friday if we didn't have our next guest. Former general manager, president, coach. Let's welcome in Doug McClain. What's going on?
It's been a really hectic day racing around to get ready for this show, just doing my homework and the beach was really busy, so it was tough to find a cabana. Pool was busy. It's been busy. It's been a busy week. The kids are here visiting, so it's been really hectic. You know,
is that where you get a lot of your statistics usually? The beach.
Well, that's where I do a lot of research. Mm. I do a lot of research there, you know. So,
what did you make last night of the playoff race in the East? The Capitals stink and lose. Flyers stink. Red Wings can't win. Islanders back in it. Am I talking you into Islanders finding their way in?
No, okay. I don't see the Islanders getting in. But look, I mean, the question to me is, can Philly last? Philly stay in the mix? I mean, they've been banged up on their back end, goaltending a little off at times, coach losing it a little bit. Can they hang in there? Every time you think the Flyers are in a little bit of trouble, they seem to rebound. So do they have the staying power to stay in? Washington have been okay recently until this. The Islanders, every time you expect them to win a game, the Islanders lose one. But bounced back last night a little bit. So, look, I don't know. It's ugly at the bottom. It's really ugly at the bottom of teams that have not had great years, and somebody's going to get in there, and then it's a totally new ball game. You know,
the Flyers play.
The Leafs?
Oh, I just wanted to touch on the Flyers just a little bit here. They seem to have a decent schedule here to kind of control their own destiny, I would think, with the likes of Chicago and Buffalo and Columbus. Three out of the next four. But, Mac, if they find a way to blow this, do you go back to Tortorella, the captaincy, the talking about his goalie, or do you just go, they kind of overachieved this season and maybe playing meaningful hockey was enough for them?
I would go to the fact that that they're pretty thin right now. You know, they're a thin group because of the injuries. They've overachieved all year. Can they actually keep it going to survive and get in for a round? That's what I see it. I mean, I don't see any of those bottom teams doing much, even if they get in. And that's not typical of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, the eight seeds have been pretty good over the years, mm-hmm. of doing some serious damage. I don't see it with the inconsistency we've seen at the bottom. Tampa Bay have taken their game to another level. The Leafs have hung in despite, you know, up and down. I know Jersey was ugly, but look, the Leafs with some tough injuries have hung in there pretty good and had some pretty solid performances. But, you know, Boston had been up and down. So it's kind of a weird look. It really is, you know, so I kind of would like to see Philly get in, but I'd also like to see Washington get in. Patrick's supposed to get the Islanders in. So there's some questions. And no games are easy when you have to win them. When you're a bottom-tier team and you're going against a Columbus or a Buffalo. Look, Buffalo's trying to save their. Are they trying to save Granato, or are they trying to get him fired? Are they trying to save Adams? Are they trying to? I don't know what they're trying to do, but you know, those bottom teams can always be trouble when you're in a stretch drive because the team that's supposed to win is uptight. That's another problem. You know, they're uptight going into these games because they're must-win games for them. So it'll be fun to watch. I just want it to get over with. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it.
You done with the season?
You're ready for the playoffs?
I'm ready for the playoffs. I'm so excited about your guys' Leafs of advancing beyond the first round.
They got a shot or what?
They've got their nine guys on the blue line. Kippy's young fella is coming back into the lineup. He's going to start practicing this week full out. So I'm excited.
But I'm talking about Mitchie?
Yeah.
Mitchie. Listen, I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
Austin Matthews has had a marvelous season. He's had a marvelous season. And he's got to win in the play. He's got to win a round. He's got to lead this team through the first round.
He did it last year, though. To his credit, he did it last year. He led the first round.
Yeah, I know. And then the second round, not so much.
Okay, so what you're saying is he's got to lead through the second round.
He's got to lead them. He's got to lead them through the first round and be a real critical key guy for them and be the leader that he's been a lot this year for them. A lot this year. He's led the way all year for them. Now I just want to see him take his game to a higher level, is if that possible, but be great in the playoffs. And he's going to have a ton of pressure in the playoffs because they are going to work to shut him down because they know if they shut his line down, as has been the case for a long time, they're not going anywhere. So I want to see him come to a whole nother level at playoff time. Playoff intensity, you know, he doesn't have to score all the goals like he did all season, but he's got to lead the team.
We talked earlier in the first hour about Alex Ovechkin, where he was at in his career when Kip made some comments about how he needs to win for, you know, the 50 goal seasons for people to care about it. Matthews is sort of there. Did you see, like, Ovechkin eventually won 7 years after this? He won a Conn Smythe. Did he change the way he played, or did it just eventually break through with enough tries?
You know what? It was a couple of things. It was a breakthrough. Do we remember the save the goaltender made against Vegas? Do we remember the save that was made there that kept them alive?
Yeah.
The cross the crease save that really saved their season and
that Holtby?
And his
yeah.
Unbelievable. And Holtby gave them a heck of a series. So now, you know, what I'm trying to say is Ovi needed help, but he led the way. But he needed help. Kuznetsov had a big series. All the guys came through big with Ovi. And Matthews, I'm not saying Matthews has got to do it himself, but Nylander, Marner, Tavares, they've got to, you know, Bertuzzi, who I was hard on. I was hard on Bertuzzi. I had this lady just ripping me on Twitter for being so hard on Bertuzzi. I hope she's watching because she must be a hockey genius because she saw something I didn't see. I don't even know her name, but anyway, I think it's a fake account. But anyway, Bertuzzi's has been better. Domi's been better, as you guys have alluded to. Their defense looks a little better. Goaltending, I'm still worried sick about their goaltending. I read the goalie guru yesterday, in the Toronto Star with this amazing article talking about peewees and bantams and putting their pads. My goaltender, how do you think I felt with Mark Fitzpatrick as my goaltender? He'd come in after the warm-up when he was starting, and he would strip down to his underwear, take all his equipment off, and then get dressed again, and then go out and let a goal in from center ice. And I said to him, why don't you just leave your equipment on and see if you can stop that first shot instead of a panic by everybody in the room watching Fitzy get redressed for the game, you know? I mean, right down to the underwear.
Oh, my God.
Redress. And I'm sitting there, like, trying to do my speech, you know, pregame, you know, my speech before we go out, you know, that final pep talk. And all I'm doing is tripping over Fitzy's equipment laying on the floor in the little dressing room at Miami Arena. So I'm still a little nervous about their goaltending. I still love Wall. I you know, Samson. I'm not a big fan, and you know, I know he's bounced back, but look, this is the playoffs, and they're going to go against teams in the playoffs that are going to have good goaltending.
They're very
good goaltending.
They're not Connor Hellebuck, but right now they can't win the Winnipeg Jets. Their losing streak has hit 5 games, 4-1 loss to Vegas. So how concerned is Rick Bowness right now?
Well, you know what, I'm a little worried about Winnipeg, but then I listened to their number one analyst, who I watch weekly doing his segment, John Shannon, in Winnipeg. He does it for CJLB. Have you ever seen Shannon on doing his analytic, his breakdown?
I love Shannon, but I have not.
Well, I watch it every week because it's must-see TV, and he breaks down he breaks down the Jets like I've never seen them broken. And Shanny, in his last segment, does not have a worry about the Jets. Not a worry. He thinks
well, that's good news
to break out. So that's good news. But look, they're going to be in tough in the first round. Like, have a look who they could play in the first round. So every first round is the most exciting time of the year, and the Leafs will be on the spotlight. And we'll see what happens.
Out west, Vancouver loses to Dallas, which had a very playoff feel type of hockey game last night with Dallas's late power play goal. But, you know, if they look in the rearview mirror with a couple of games in hand for the Edmonton Oilers, like, would it be devastating to see the Oilers catch them?
I asked somebody today what's wrong with Vancouver, and they said their power play is no good, the penalty killing's no good. Their goaltender's injured. Like, the big acquisition from Carolina has been invisible. Like, what is going on with this guy? I mean, we were on this show raving about this pickup, and now they're all wishing they had the kid back that they shipped to Calgary for him, who he didn't have a hat trick last night, but he was close. I mean, what's happened to this kid? You know, I mean, he's that good a player, and now he's invisible out there, and it's throwing their, you know, you said last week, Petey's gone AWOL. I mean, they're in a little bit of hurt right now.
So they got the Oilers. They got the Oilers who were in hot chase of them then, and the Oilers have the Ducks and the Blues the next couple of games. They certainly could make it close. I just want to ask you about this Zach Hyman with the Oilers. Gets to 51 goals at 31 years old. You know, given where he was at earlier in his career, what are your thoughts on the player he's become? I don't think a lot of us saw this coming.
No, but if you would have asked me when he was acquired by Edmonton, I would have said, like, two acquisitions that Kenny Holland did with Ekholm and Hyman, maybe the two best acquisitions of the year for any GM. And Kenny takes a lot of heat. Two unbelievable pickups, and they survive with Skinner in goal, moving Campbell to the minors. So Hyman, I would have said, is going to be a 35-goal scorer, guaranteed, because he's going to play with Dreisaitl or McDavid. And he's going to be a 35-goal scorer because the kid goes to the paint and he plays hard. And I'm watching him get 50, and I'm excited about him. I'm excited about the kid. I think he's a quality kid. And then I'm reading this garbage. It really ticked me off the last couple of days, the derogatory comments about a kid like Hyman, who to me is a hardworking true pro. I'm sorry. I don't care if he gets to play with McDavid. I don't care if his father bought the... Hey, my father was the president of the Summerside minor hockey program too. Big deal. So come on. I mean, the kid has worked hard. The Leafs, it was a big mistake losing him. I know it was salary cap. I get all that. But it was a monumental loss for them and a great pickup by Edmonton. And the kid has played hard. And if you asked any of his teammates about Zach Hyman, what would they say? They would rave about him, right?
One of the classiest kids in the league.
You want to believe it. You want to believe it. So it just ticked me off. So, hey, good on him. Proud of him. I hope he has a great playoff and shuts a few people up.
Mac, where are you with Evander Kane?
I hate to be sour today.
I know.
You're such a positive.
I like this segment to be a positive segment.
I found you for the most part.
A lot of your show is really down. It's always like a negative. And I'm trying to uplift it and be a positive force to end the week on Good Friday, especially, you know?
Yes. You're definitely good on a Good Friday, for sure. Evander Kane, can we envision the Oilers going deep without him being at his best? Because I don't think there's another player that can add a physical element with a skill set like him in that lineup. And I don't know what kind of Evander Kane we're going to see to start game one.
How would you know what you're going to see? I know he's a real important guy there. I get all that. But the inconsistency shown at so many times in his career would make me nervous. You would hope that the leadership in that room, and I think they've got pretty good leadership there. I think Ekholm has come in and helped their leadership group. I think Hyman has probably helped their leadership group. I McDavid, Drysdale, they're givens. You've got to believe that Evander Kane, probably in his last opportunity to really become a stable contributor in a good organization, you would hope that he would bring his best. And you're right. He's an important guy. And playoffs should be his best time. It should be his best time. And you would hope he's going to be there. He's been good and average and bad for them. And then I watched his interview with Gene Principe the other day. I'm thinking, okay, well, what? Well, why the act here? Come on. Just answer the questions and get on with things, you know? Enough mm-hmm. already.
So how many Canadian teams see the second round of playoffs, Doug? We got the Canucks, the Oilers, the Jets, the Leafs.
Now, are you considering the Vancouver Canadian team? Because there's only 1.5 Canadians on that team in Vancouver.
Right? Is that right? Who's the half?
1.5 Canadians.
Who's the half?
The Myers, the defenseman.
He's dual?
He's American and he's dual.
Like myself.
So they've got 1.5 Canadians. Like, if I'm not mistaken, last year, didn't Vegas have 18 Canadians when they won the Cup?
And I didn't notice anyone calling it a Canadian Cup, Doug, that year.
No, exactly. When I look, I don't care where they're from. But it caught me off guard when I went through their roster. Really?
No Canadian forwards at all, I think. None.
1.5 Canadians, and yet they've had a great year. You know, toxic Canadian, and that's been a big part of it. Yeah.
So Mac, last week we had Paul Maurice on our show, and if somebody wants to revisit it, it was fantastic. He's almost as good as you, so download it if you get a chance.
Almost,
but he seems to be running out of patience the other day.
Jill, hey, just a minute. Jill doesn't have time to download things for me right now. She's busy downloading. I don't download. Okay?
Do you even know what that means?
I read the Wall Street Journal. My kids are giving it to me today because I'm reading the Wall Street Journal. I said, Dad, who reads papers anymore? Well, you know, I said, well, Kipper writes a column for the Toronto Star. Next, you know, I read the Wall Street Journal. So, I mean, yeah. So I don't do a lot of
downloads. I'm a paper reader.
So
love the paper.
What did Paul Maurice say exactly, JB? He said basically.
Whatever you think I would say, you write that and I won't argue about it. Just whatever you think I would have said, go ahead and write that.
So what is going on?
With a couple of expletives there.
Yes. What's going on there?
I don't know. Like Tarasenko, I would have thought that Tarasenko was a solid pickup for them. I would have thought he came in at a reasonable price, and I thought family's in Florida. He's won a cup.
You didn't
he's
like
going
it.
To a team. He's going with the team. I didn't really like it, but I thought it was going to be, he'd be okay as a player. They've hardly won a game since he's been there.
What did I tell you?
You said that he would, well, how directly do you want me to say what I think you said?
I said he's high maintenance.
Yes. Yeah. That he would be a stick in the mud of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, this is a pressure packed first round for the Florida Panthers too, because of the season they've had and the way Barkov's been, and you know, Reinhardt's had the big 50 goal season, and Barkov's been a big part of that, obviously. Bobrovsky has had an amazing year. Florida had the great run last year. They should be good, but man, you look at the first round matchups, boys, none of them are going to be easy, and there's no given. So I've watched a couple of their games lately. They have not looked very good. They have not looked very good.
You know who Florida should have got? They should have reacquired Anthony DeClair. I like him. I saw him last week play against the Rangers, mm-hmm. and he's been a very solid pickup for Tampa Bay that slid under the radar.
Yeah, they're scoring.
What do you want me to say?
Yeah.
What do you want me to say?
All right, all right, all right.
He's played for 17 teams. Like, come on. I mean, well, you're digging deep here now. But you know what?
The kid can score.
The kid's a streaky scorer.
Yes, he is.
He's got speed. So, look, and he's with a bunch of stars who are still stars in Kucherov, Point, and Hedman, and look, goaltending. I mean, look, who wants to play Tampa in the first round, boys? I'm telling you,
nobody.
It will not be fun. Will not be fun. So, yeah, it's a decent pickup. But I'm not going to say, like you, Nick, that he's going to be a difference maker.
I didn't say that.
I can't remember the last time he played in the playoffs. So maybe he's really excited about it. Was he in Florida last year in the playoff run? Maybe he was.
He was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hope he has a big run.
Well, the one thing I do wonder.
Joe, they're asking me about downloading things. Do you know how to do that?
Just right click. So if it's very possible Tampa could see the Boston Bruins. The Bruins, according to all my fancy nerd numbers, have not been very good since January 1st. I don't look at their roster, or I do look at the roster. It's not that great. Are you a Bruins believer? I'm not over here.
I was sort of hoping the Leafs would play the Bruins in the first round because I think they would have their best chance against the Bruins. I really do. I mean, look, their power play is been their bread and butter for a long time. Swayman is good. I like their blue line. But they've been up and down, and I don't know if they can score enough to have a lot of success. I don't know if they can. And I would like to see the Leafs play them in the first round. I really would. And
unlikely.
I know they haven't had good luck lately. They haven't had good luck lately against the Bruins, but I still think that would be a good matchup for the Leafs.
Detroit, one of those teams now that you can look at least they played meaningful games. Like, is this thing slid right off the rails for them?
You know, Larkin goes down, and it seemed to, you know, their season spun out of control, and now he's back. And, you know, can he lead the way? Look, I like their team a lot at times during the season. I thought they were going to find a way to get in there. Again, it's Phillies to lose, guys. It's Phillies to really lose. And I don't see them getting in. I mean, I know they don't have – they're not chasing them, but I don't know. I see Philly, Washington, maybe that's the end of it.
All right, before we let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to be positive about something in the NHL, a team, a player. Is there a thing, a trend, a team, something you're watching right now going that – that makes me feel positively towards
them. Nashville. Nashville might make you feel warm and fuzzy.
Did you want me to answer the question, or did you ask Nick that question?
You know what? Excuse me. I'm talking to Doug right now.
I know.
Thank you very much.
To help him.
All right.
Trying to help him on this Good Friday.
I'll tell you what. I wouldn't want to play Nashville right now. Yossi has gone to a whole other level. The goaltending is always good. Burnett's done a heck of a job. I mean, imagine, thank God he wouldn't let them go to YouTube. Thank God he saved. But then I'm trying, I know what's so positive about the NHL right this week that it just made me feel so good was Doan getting two goals.
Yeah.
And now I know why Gary has been so persistent on keeping Arizona in the NHL. They've been waiting for Doan's kid to make the team and take them to another level. And maybe he'll help them get a new arena. So I'm trying to be positive about Arizona, who I've been hard on.
I don't know. It sounded sarcastic to me.
So 12 years I've been hard on them. Just, I was happy for the Bones, though. I love that.
Just to go back on Nashville's major turnover was when they took away the concert in Vegas of YouTube. Right. Like, what's the worst thing you ever did? I remember, I think it was either, I think it was the Rangers that took away our Haagen-Dazs ice cream on the flight home.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, and I was really pissed.
And you just replaced it with something generic?
No replacement.
Oh,
just took away the Haagen-Dazs. Like, that really, really upset me because I really like ice cream.
Yeah. That's messed up.
You know what? I mine goes way back to when I was a junior coach, and I told you this, Nick, the story, but the trainer came out before the warm-up, and he said that Robbie, my number one goaltender, forgot his skates. What? And he forgot his skates. You know, he didn't have them for the game. We're on the road. So I go in, and Bruce Howitt, my backup, who was awful, was really struggling, couldn't stop a beach ball. And I go up to, and he's getting his skates on. He's all excited. And I go up to him. I said, Bruce, what size are your skates? And he said, size 9.5. I said, give them to Robbie. So that was the worst. That's the worst thing I ever did. And you know what? We won the game. And I go back to PEI, and Bruce Howitt works for Bell, and I see him in the trucks all the time. And I wave to him, and it just, our relationship hasn't been the same since. No denying that.
That's awful.
Before we let you go, I don't need any deep dive into Jeff Rimmer, but I mean, have you talked to him since you absolutely lambasted him on our show last week?
He phones me every day. It's like he likes the punishment. He phones me every day. And I guess they're honoring him tonight in Columbus.
Really?
You didn't go?
No, I did. I sent a video.
Oh, that's nice of you.
And you know what? As I said to Rims, I said, they're honoring you. And look, you have been a bright light for that franchise for 20 years. You're one of the most positive things about the franchise in 20 years. He says to me that was my greatest acquisition, was hiring him to be the play-by-play guy. I thought it was Nash, but he, or Ray Whitney, or, you know, but it maybe was hiring Rims. And here's the downside of Jeff Rimmer retiring. He lives 25 minutes from me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
That's the downside of his retirement.
So maybe next season we can have... We can have the two of you on a Friday.
Why don't you just hire Rimmer for this segment next year? And he can talk about himself.
Would he take the same wage?
He can tell you about the time Pete Rose jumped him in the Expos dressing room and put a pounding on him because he was ripping Pete Rose. He's got the Cal Ripken story. He's got all these great stories that he loves to tell.
Wow.
You know.
Pete Rose beat up Jeff Rimmer. We're going to have to get that story next week.
Get him on Monday to talk about him being celebrated.
Pete Rose attacked Jeff Rimmer. And I guarantee you that he had it coming, because he's obvious. He was a very controversial, mouthy guy when he was doing radio. I used to listen to him in Baltimore when we were with the Skipjacks, you know?
All right, we're going to let you go.
I'm proud of Rims, and he's had a... illustrious career, and I'm proud of him, and congratulations, Rims. I'm sure you're listening.
Yeah, the last 5 seconds after ripping him doesn't really mean much. I got to be honest with you.
the fadeaway.
The fadeaway compliments. Yeah. It's a little too late.
You're great.
All right, do you think this segment lasted long enough that Jill hid your Easter eggs?
Jill is a big fan of this segment. They're all in the other room watching it. I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they are too. All right, Mac, enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, Mac.
Thanks for having me on Good Friday. I really appreciate it, being on today.
That is Doug McLean.
I was praying you were off the air.
Overtime pay, we'll send it to you.
All right, cut him off, would you, Tristan? All right, that's Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, head coach. And, of course, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In such a hurry. Mm-hmm. We have to get that in.
We do. Let's do Game Time after the break.
Are you doing Game Time?
I am doing.
You are our Sammy with Game Time after the break. I can't wait. More of that and more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show when we return.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective, Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Real Kipper and Bourne Show. All right. As always on Friday, text us at 590-590. Is that what the number is?
Yes, 590-590.
I've done this for 3 years.
You got it. It's game time.
It's game time.
Yes, it is. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Play responsibly. One thing I had Tristan seek out for us today is the New York Islanders' odds to make the playoffs. They're going to pay plus 260 Is there any chance, Kip, when you look at the NHL standings, that the New York Islanders can make that a useful bet for you?
At this point, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so unpredictable.
They're 4 points back of Washington.
It's crazy.
I know.
That they are somehow... They're the last couple at your house that will not leave.
You're like, the night's over.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yeah. Like, you're searching now for conversations and, like...
Each win is a new glass of wine, and you're like, God, they're going to be here longer.
I don't need to hear about everything in your life right now. You need to go home. But the Islanders are still around.
Still around, plus 10,000 to win the Stanley Cup, so that's a little bit unlikely. The only one game in the NHL tonight, the New Jersey Devils versus the Buffalo Sabres. Sabres are massive favorites? No, never mind. That's what the +1.5. All right, the Devils are favored, -130. Sabres plus 110.
Are they still in it?
The Devils?
Yes.
The Devils are only a point behind the Islanders. So, well, they've got one fewer game remaining. So, bit of a longer shot. Well,
the Devils, the Islanders lost like 7 out of 8.
They're 3-6-1 in their last 10.
3-6-1.
Yeah.
And they're actually improving.
I know. Just terrible. Anyway, don't bet the Devils-Sabres game unless, you know, you really are a twisted hockey fan. I don't see any real advantage there. But Islanders to make the playoffs is one I got my eye on. That's been Game Time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app with the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Play responsibly.
Taking a good look at the Art Ross race for... Mm-hmm. Leading scorer in the National Hockey League, it is 124, 123, and 122.
That's wild. McDavid was cooked at one point this season.
Cooked.
Like back like 30 points.
And his last like 5 or 6 games, he's been on fuego.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy is the gap between McDavid and fourth, between 3 and 4, is 122 to 103.
A week ago, 2 weeks ago, you would have had McDavid on the outside looking in, but this is like, and I go from the Art Ross to the MVP. Mm-hmm. Like, it will be decided in the next 10 games, will it not, you think?
I think so. Like, I don't know if Kucherov can do it because I don't think people see him in the same light in terms of all-around player, the way he contributes, but McKinnon and McDavid, 1 point apart. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting race down the stretch.
I think McKinnon had been the sentimental favorite here.
Yeah.
Up until the last little while, but McDavid heading towards historical territory.
Yeah.
With his assists, only a handful of guys have had 100-point assist
seasons.
I want
to push back on that a little. Like,
you don't think that's a factor here?
Well, I know
can
it is
he
to
lose
some
the
people.
MVP? Making that type of history?
I know it is to some people, like, oh, only so many players have ever hit this kind of arbitrary milestone, wherever it is you want to cut it off. Like, we're just asking who's the best player, you know, or most valuable player to their team. We're not asking who had the neatest records this year.
Let me back end this. What team would fall apart
That's
more?
That's the question.
If Nate left Colorado or Connor?
Yeah, so let me give my Hart Trophy little spiel here. I believe that when the Hart Trophy was created, the idea was to find who's the best player in the league. That's what we're trying to do. Who had the best season? Who had the best year? Who's the best player? That guy had the best year. That's kind of what we're trying to do. Because really, if you do the who's the most valuable to their team thing, you're asking who's got the worst secondary cast. Who's the farthest distance above their next best players? Which, who cares? If a team is built so poorly that they don't have any good secondary players, like, should we really disqualify the value of Austin Matthews because Mitch Marner's also good? Like, does that make him let? So we're roughly trying to find the best player, roughly.
It's just a popularity contest at the end.
Sure. But like, Ryan,
who do you like?
The most important.
Who do you like? That's
exactly.
All.
But the most, if we're doing it by the way some people do it, who's the most valuable to their team? Well, it's UC Saros. Or it's, you know, Connor Hellebuck in the past. Or it's, you know, the random teams that have these one-off awesome players. And that to me is not what we're doing. Connor Bedard. Connor Bedard's the best player, the Hart Trophy winner for me. Most important to Chicago. Anyway, done with that little speech. Once you get into this range, it's just like, who would fall apart quicker, Edmonton or Colorado? Probably Colorado. You?
Colorado.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you who their second line centerman is. Is it
Rantanen play with?
No, Mittelstadt. Is it?
Oh yeah.
In Colorado, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, at least I could sit there and go, okay, they got the Nuge and they got Leon that can step in there. But I go to Colorado, I'm like, okay, Mittelstadt?
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. It's like, are we going to punish Connor because he has a guy in his team who's really good in Leon? To me, it's like, they're both good enough. We found the best players. It's these two guys. And then it becomes relevant whose team they needs them more. But anyway, that's a whole rant.
All right. Anything else tickle your fancy?
There's things, but we haven't taken any text. Should we answer a couple, or do you want to do go around the league at all? What do you want to? Let's take some text. Got any text for us?
Let's welcome in Tristan.
Tristan, Mark and John, he's going to throw a couple at us here.
Saved our show.
He did.
Thank you. That was kind of my fault. I forgot to put the clips in.
But you also saved the show.
It happens. Pizza up the middle.
Sometimes you turn it over, you got to hustle back and get it back, and you did it.
Or sometimes you just take the minus and go back to the bench.
just hang your head. You didn't do that. That's great.
That's good. Oh, I'm glad I didn't get a bench for this one.
That's right. Absolutely.
First of all, speaking of Sammy, a lot of people are kind of mixed emotions on him missing today. One guy's like, yeah, this show's better without the mouthy guy.
I don't know. I think it's important to have that element. The fan voice represented here is crucial.
Okay, be honest. Did you send that in?
My burner account? Yeah, that was me.
No. Sammy, hope he's having a good day off.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I guarantee he is.
We're confident there, yeah.
So one of the texts here is from Kevin in Toronto. He goes, hey, gents, what about Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi, McMahon, Nylander, Marner, Nyes, Tavares, Yarncroc, and Dewar, Kampf, Reeves off? Dewar, Kampf, and Reeves off the rails Fridays.
Yeah. You know, I did some of the lineup stuff today where I was organizing how I see the Leafs' sort of best lineup. And really it comes down to, do you want to load up the top lines or do you want to spread out talent? I think you're okay with the loading up.
You know, if I look at different lines throughout the playoffs on various teams, I always go to the Dallas Stars, mm-hmm. which we saw look pretty darn solid. And 1-3, 1-4, they can roll. I'm not sure in terms of how obsessive Pete DeBoer will be on line matching, but both two or three lines can, on some nights you can go, okay, I'm not sure who their number one line is.
Right.
And it's spread out and it looks big and strong and fast. And that's ultimately the best look you can have, not loading up with four guys.
Yeah. You know, though, I actually wrote this that, like, you could say that about the Leafs. I'm not sure who their top line is some nights. And that's just because Sheldon mixed it up so much. We had Maurice on our show talked about how Sheldon is a tough guy to match up, which kind of makes me feel like it doesn't really matter how they start a game. Like, he'll move guys down, pull guys up, throw them in a blender. As we talked about, they played 24 line combinations against Florida in the playoffs last year. So, yeah. However it looks on game one, it ain't going to look the same by the time they get to game two.
Sure.
Dallas, I think they're, especially with Tanev now getting comfortable there with Lindell, Harley, Miro Heskinen.
Why do I not like them?
You don't, eh?
No.
You think they're set up for an early exit?
I tend to think that elite talent pulls you through, these sort of top-end guys.
Oh, you don't see
hints? Yeah,
big, hints? Big, strong guy.
That's what you're giving me, though?
I am. I'm giving you hints.
Hints and Heiskanen, like, okay, here's, you know, Makar and McKinnon.
Matt Duchene, we've never looked at seriously as a...
Not at this point.
Playoff game breaker.
And like Pavelski can be, but he's my age. You know, like that's not great. So anyway, it depends how you like your teams.
I've got them. I've got them deep.
You do? Oh, you haven't won in the cup, actually.
I did in September. In September.
Which would be very impressive.
I had Ottinger like in the mix for a Vezina, too. That's not happening.
If he finds it, they'll be very good. Yes. And that can certainly change the conversation.
Yep.
Any more there?
Yeah, it's kind of related to the Leafs. This person, Eric and Whitney, says, Kip, can you speak to the leadership on your cup-winning Ranger team? And JB, can you speak to the Islanders' leadership on your dad's team circa 80 to 84? And are any of those characteristics present on the current Leafs team? Do you see that?
No, I don't, but nobody saw that early.
Hope, do you want to take time and think about it?
I don't, but there's a first time for everything. And that includes any championship team. And we were talking about Ovi last night going through the process of having all these 50 and 60 goal seasons. And yet, what do people want to see? The end result leading towards a championship. So that's where they are at right now. And, you know, is Austin ready for that? And I'll put in Connor as well in that same mix in Edmonton, is that they can look at these dream seasons of 60 goal seasons as Connor had last season, or now one of a handful of guys set to become century mark for assists. Mm-hmm. But Connor knows, man, this means all jack if you don't lift the silver tin.
Yeah, and I guess the only way, you know, I obviously don't know about my dad's teams, but just in hearing him talk about them, the one thing I would say is, those superstar guys, the biggest names, are often kind of like your plow horses that face tough competition and people slash and whack and they're mean. And you look at the guys who came through for the Islanders, you know, the OT winners, Bobby Nystrom. My dad leads the 83 Islanders in scoring. Butch Goring is one of the best players. Like, you need guys behind those plow horses. You need your Nick Kyprioses and all that. So, you know, as long as you have those main guys really making life hard on the other team's best efforts, it should free things up for everyone behind them, make an easier life for them.
And let's throw in a guy like Pettersson now, who's gone to a complete another level. And let's face it, it's the money. The more money you make, the more pressure that you're going to have to deliver here, and pulling teams together, not just putting up your numbers as an individual, but bringing a team together. And I was listening to JT Miller last night, and I think we've got the clip of what he thought on needing to be better. Can we play that, Derek?
Is discipline something you guys can look back on?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we had our chances in the power play too. I don't think we're getting to the inside enough, you know, myself. You know, I'm you know, it's not really creating or driving play right now for me. So I need to be better. And as a leader on the team, I hold myself to a higher standard than that. I mean, I feel like I'm one and done a lot.
See, I love that. I love that.
You love JT.
That's the
Miller,
only time.
Period.
That's the only time you should say "I," is when you're saying, "I need to be better."
Yeah.
That's the only time. I.
You know, some guys, and I've heard this about Miller, some guys take well to coaching. You know, like they want to be coached. They want to hear from some guys. You know, good leadership, and you can hear Tockett speaking through JT Miller's mouth there, right? Like that's exactly the sort of thing he would tell a guy who's not producing to their level that he wants to see from him. And I think that's a good sign if you're a Canucks fan that the message is being not just received but agreed with. You know, he's one of those guys. He's an important piece for them. So, yeah, we'll see if they can get it going, because he's going to be huge in the playoffs for that team.
All right, Sammy, you got another text besides...
Hold on, do before we do text, Sammy.
Well, it's all Leafs, right?
Oh, I see. Do you want to talk about the hit Hag on Namestnikov at all from last night?
Listen, I'm like everybody else. The first time you see it, it's easy to go headshot, but you know, that's where I think that's where the system works. Yep. Again, I'm not thrilled on delays or staring at a tablet for any significant amount of time while thousands of fans just wait. But I don't know any other option here, but I think that conclusively, and we heard Rick Bonus after the game saying, hey, you know, that's the decision and we got to live with it. Yeah. But it works in that instance. Do you agree?
Yeah, you know, I didn't love the hit. I'd have been fine with a major for it. I really liked Mark Scheifele fighting a big guy in Hag. I think that really looks good on him for his team. But I would like to draw a line between legal and clean hits. For example, last night Alex Ovechkin put Jake McCabe into another dimension on a legal but dirty hit to me, where it's just the guy, you know, the guy does not know you're there, And dirty is the wrong hit. It's not a clean hit.
Yeah, define dirty for me.
When a guy doesn't know you're going to hit him and you put him through the moon, I think you can say that's a legal hit. Legal. Totally fine.
Okay.
No problem. I'm not saying he should be.
Isn't that not what happened?
Well, he didn't get a penalty. Yes. But at the same time, I think it's a dirty play. I think you're allowed to not like what happened if you're the Leafs. So that to me is similar to this play where it's like, it's not a suspension, but I don't like it. I don't think it's a good play. I think the guy was vulnerable.
That's why we see fights after a big hit, because we don't like that dirty element of yours.
Absolutely.
And I'm okay with that too.
All right. Same page. Good talk. See you out there.
Yeah. A lot of people hate it, right? Why do I have to fight? You don't have to fight. I think you have the choice of not accepting.
Yeah, if you think it's legal and clean, you don't have to fight.
You can get challenged.
Yeah, I like that. All right, how are we doing? We got any more texts?
I'll give you a non-Leafs one.
Thanks, Sammy.
This one's from Cortland. What did you guys think of the Oilers-Kings game last night? Obviously, the Oilers have taken three of the last four from them. Probably could be a first-round matchup.
Are the Kings dangerous, in your opinion, in the playoffs here?
No.
No way.
No. I know it's the same thing with the Dallas thing, where it's like, I don't think they have the top-end guys. I think they are well-structured, and they play defensive hockey, but the goaltending is not trustworthy, and I don't think they can score enough. The Oilers also, I loved that McDavid, after the game, said they played a mature game. I thought that was,
I caught that.
You know, I don't know if he had just been hearing a lot of the news about the immature Leafs, but I thought it was funny that he called. It's just not a common phrase to describe your game, that's all.
Yeah.
I thought we played mature hockey tonight. Is that something you hear? I'm not saying it's a barb. I'm just saying it was in his head from...
No. It's an interesting choice of words.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. Was it a bit of a shot to the Leafs?
Well, it is fair that they're at a different level. Like, they are 6 points behind the Canucks for first in their division, 2 games in hand. They're chasing them down. The Leafs are hanging on like cliffhanger, trying to not fall off a swinging rope bridge here. But, yeah, it's a different...
I don't think it's going to be the last that we're going to hear of the word mature and immature.
Now it's in the lexicon. I think it's going to be a thing.
I think it's going to get dragged right now.
I think the fact that Keith used it post-game and Matthews parroted the phrase meant that it stuck and people liked it, and now it's a thing.
Any loss is going to be immature now, for sure.
You got to be on the mature side of the puck.
Like our show's on Friday. Very immature.
Very immature. All right. Do we have one more before we go?
Why do you guys think the media never talks about Draisaitl giving the puck away so much? Me as an Oilers fan, feel this is a big problem heading into the postseason.
Well,
it's a good question.
Listen, we followed the Leafs in our first hour, and I've been talking basically all week about the hopers, the giveaways from Nylander, when to pick your... When you're that talented and you have the puck that much, there has to be a level of acceptance here to outweigh the good from the bad.
That's a mature answer to me.
Very mature.
Good players turn the puck over a lot. They have it all the time. They have to take chances to create things. And they turn... The league leader in giveaways during, like, Pavel Datsyuk's career was Datsyuk. They're the best players, you know, of his generation. Great players turn the puck over a lot. They take chances.
So there it is. There it is in a nutshell. We'd rather you just end up focusing on everything that's so great about him and other star players that you have to live with it. And, you know, what's key now is reading and reacting if your teammates on the ice around him and, you know, who's backing him up. Play the right way.
Last night, your boy Nylander dumped a couple pucks in. He did a few things where it wasn't there, and he took what was there.
It becomes straight lines, stops and starts, and straight lines in the playoffs. It tightens up. When do you hold on to the puck? When do you dump it in?
Yeah.
When do you give it away?
No hope place.
Okay. On our good Friday, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Our thanks to Gord Stellick in our first Leaf Hour edition. And then, as always, on Friday, off the rails, Doug McLean.
And Tristan Marcagiani. Thank you.
Yes, you guys nailed it. Buddy. You guys nailed the last name today.
Nice job.
Appreciate it.
Okay, everybody, have a great Easter weekend. And we're back on Monday.
All right, let's do it.
Ladies, stay safe, everybody.
The weekend.